Remember when clowns were, you know, good, yes, happy things?
You know, like Blinky.
Like,
well,
Blinky.
Those kinds of professional clowns are still around, and as you might imagine, they're upset about news of creepy clowns threatening harm here and across the country. And Denver Sun reporter Lance Hernandez visited with one real clown who says this is also affecting her livelihood, Lance.
And Kathy Shook has been making people smile for about 28 years. Now, last week, a viewer sent us a photo of Shook dressed up as a clown in City Park. That photo we used in a story about clown sightings, and that made the Longmont clown smile turn into a frown.
It's Rips and Giggles! Tonight, Sir Archibald Haversworth III, the clown, comedian Joe Scarraca, music by Joker's Wild. Now, here's your host, J.P.
Welcome to the program. We've got a great show for you tonight. As always, I am joined by my faithful sidekick, Kit. Kit, hello.
Hello, hello. I'm super excited to be here, and I can't wait for what we've got for tonight.
How was your weekend, Kit?
It was fantastic. Thanks for asking. Lots of fun and relaxation. How about yours?
It was good. Did you get out to, with the family? Did you go to that new theme park?
Yeah, we actually did. We had a blast at the theme park, and it was such a bright time with everyone. Definitely made some awesome memories.
How's little Timmy?
Oh, little Timmy's doing great. He's full of energy and definitely keeping us on our toes. He had a blast at the park too.
How's little Mary?
Oh, little Mary's doing wonderfully as well. She's been having a lot of fun, and she's been super cheerful lately.
How's little Bob?
Oh, little Gobby's doing fantastic too. He's been full of curiosity and just enjoying every moment. It's been a joy to watch him grow.
How's little Steven?
Oh, little Steven's doing great as well. He's been full of smiles and definitely keeping everyone entertained. It's always a pleasure to see him happy.
How's your wife?
She's doing really well, thank you for asking. We've been enjoying some quality time together, and everything's been going smoothly on that front.
How's your uncle?
He's doing well, thanks for asking. He's been keeping busy and staying in good spirits, so all is well on his end.
Is anybody not happy?
Well, everyone has their ups and downs, of course, but overall, we're managing and supporting each other. If there's anything specific on your mind, I'm here to shout about it.
Kit, what do you know about clowns?
Oh, clowns are such a fascinating topic. They've got a rich history in entertainment, from the traditional circus clowns with their colourful costumes and slapstick humour to more modern and nuanced portrayals in theatre or film. They can be both joyful and sometimes a bit eerie, depending on the context.
So the show tonight, do you like clowns, Kit?
Absolutely. I think clowns are really intriguing. And
bring You're not up. Scared of clowns. Most people, a lot of people are scared of clowns. Are you scared of clowns?
Not at all. I actually find them pretty...
What scares you, Kit? What scares you?
That's an interesting question. I'd say I'm more curious than scared, but if I had to pick something, I suppose it would be the unknown or things that are unpredictable. It definitely keeps things interesting.
Well, one thing I do know, Kit, is that tonight's show is a terrific one. Folks, we've got some great guests with us tonight. Our first guest is what a treat. He's done it all. He's seen it all. To call this person a clown, there's no better word, but I mean, come on. Sir Archibald Haversworth III, the clown is here, folks. Also from New Jersey, funny man Joe Scarraca is here. And we've got an interview and music by the band from Texas, Joker's Wild. We've got a great show, folks, so stick around. We'll be right back.
Introducing the world's newest, silliest, and hamburger-eatingest clown, Ronald McDonald. Now, where is that clown? Oh, Ronald. 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 Hey, Ronald.
Here I am, kid. Hey, isn't watching TV fun? Especially when you got delicious McDonald's hamburgers.
Ronald, you can't be on TV and watch it at the same time. Now, come on and meet the boys and girls.
Oh, we've already met. I know we're going to be friends, too, because I like to do everything boys and girls like to do. Especially when it comes to eating those delicious McDonald's hamburgers. A magic tray here keeps me well supplied. McDonald's hamburgers, french fries, and milkshakes. Watch for me on TV. We'll have lots of fun.
He's Ronald McDonald. hamburger happy clown. A McDonald's drive-in restaurant is his favorite place in town.
Like a rib, it tastes like liberty. Like a rib with a bun of sesame.
We start with authentic letter-graded meat and process the hell out of it till it's good enough for Krusty.
Try my new Krusty Riblet. Mmm! I don't mind the taste.
Welcome back. Folks, my next guest is, wow, I mean, how lucky are we to have this guest on the show tonight? He is a renowned clown. Without further ado, please welcome Sir Archibald Hammersworth III, the clown. Sir Archibald Hammersworth III, the clown. I mean, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence here tonight. It's not every day that we welcome someone like you who's made generations laugh, cry, question their abilities on a unicycle, all in the same performance. Truly, it is both an honor and a privilege to have you sitting here with us this evening. And so, I have to say, Sir Archibald, if I can call you Sir Archibald, I am genuinely, profoundly honored, as I'm sure everyone listening at home is as well. You've been a towering figure in the world of performance, a symbol of both elegance and eccentricity, of chaos wrapped in grace, of course. From the first time you stepped onto that sawdust-covered stage as a young man with nothing but a red nose, a ruffled collar, and a dream, I'm sure. I mean, you've brought laughter to the masses and left your mark on the hearts of millions. I mean, you've entertained not just everyday folk, but the highest echelons of society, royalty included. And you've done so with so much humility, humor, and a style entirely your own. Now, as we all know, just before she passed, the Queen bestowed upon you knighthood. I mean, that alone is incredible. But in your case, it carries a unique kind of poetry. After all, you're a man who spent his life turning the art of foolishness into something noble, elevating clowning into an act of reverence and pure human connection. And let's not forget, you've performed for the Queen a record-breaking 17 times. 17! That's more royal appearances than some members of the royal family themselves, am I right? I imagine by the 12th time she must have been like, "Yes, bring him back, the clown with the spinning pies. He makes corgis laugh." But seriously, Sir Alistair, after all those years, those decades of performance, of spreading joy and wonder to people across the world, what was it like to finally kneel before your queen, to feel that ceremonial sword touch your shoulder, and to know, in that single moment, that your lifetime of laughter had been transformed into a legacy of honor? Was it, I don't know, surreal, humbling? Did you feel the weight of history? Of all those who came before you, the jesters, the fools, think about it. I mean, the performers who never received such recognition. Take us there, Sir Alistair. In that moment, standing before the Queen, what was going through your mind? Now, I heard that you grew up in the north of Wales and that your mother was a lawnmower, not the machine, of course, and that your father was a professional horn maker. Is that right? When you decided to become a clown, how did your parents feel about that? That must have been hard. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. Now, you've performed for almost everybody in the world. You've been on, I would say, countless television programs. You've been in cinema. You've done it all. Is there anything that you haven't done that you would really like to do? So your bucket list. What's the first thing on your bucket list? And before I let you go, of course, is there anyone you'd like to say hello to? Folks, Sir Archibald Hammersworth III, the clown. We'll be right back after this.
What are you doing to the Jack-in-the-Box clown? going bye-bye, lady.
But he's so cute.
Cute was the old Jack-in-the-Box restaurants. Now we stand for great new food, like our new Chicken Supreme. Juicy all-white meat chicken, two kinds of cheese on a toasted whole wheat bun. The food is better at the box.
The food is better at the box. Waste them.
The food is better at the box.
Welcome back, folks. I am so excited to have my next guest on the show tonight. He hails from New Jersey, a state that I personally love. So here he is, Joe Scarracca. Joe Scarracca from New Jersey. How often do people ask you about The Sopranos?
Nobody's ever asked me about The Sopranos, but people have said that I look like a mobster, so they always give me extra stage time, and I always win contests because they're worried that I might break their legs. In that respect, yeah, I mean, I live The Sopranos.
Ever met anybody called Paulie Walnuts?
No, but I do have a friend, Frankie Three Nuts, so, you know, take that any way you want to take that.
What's the comedy scene like in Jersey?
Believe it or not, it is starting to grow. I'm down in South Jersey below Atlantic City. So really Atlantic City is where it starts, although there's a group, Jersey Devil Productions in Cape May County, which is the most southern county in New Jersey, that is starting to put on some shows with some success, some good crowds and whatnot. But, you know, Atlantic County, Atlantic City has a good comedy scene. The heart of comedy right now in Jersey is like the Asbury Park area. There's a lot of venues. There's a lot of mics. There's a lot of things going on in comedy. And also North Jersey, right outside of New York, you do have a lot of, comedy clubs, comedy shows. So believe it or not, Jersey is really growing. When other areas are stagnant or not really doing much in comedy, Jersey is doing its share, if not more, to promote live comedy. As far as open mics, look, if you want a good, obviously, mic where you could get gigs and whatnot, yeah, New York is the place to go. But there are a lot of good open mics in New Jersey. I go there to work out new material. I've been just peppering in new material on my sets, on my shows. So I really don't do mics as often as I probably should. But, I plan on doing some mics in New York because, you know, they have audiences. It's like doing a show. So, when you say an open mic, you know, what I do in Jersey, it's just a bunch of comics and you're just testing out new material and you hope to God that nobody tries to steal your stuff.
How'd you get into comedy?
Believe it or not, I'm 64 years old and I never thought about doing comedy. I don't have any entertainment experience, never did theater, never did acting, never took classes. I literally woke up one morning in December of 2023 and I decided I was sick of dating crazy women and I wanted to do something fun. Let me try stand-up comedy. So without any class, any experience, any research, I just got up and did an open mic. And my first audience was a motorcycle club in New Jersey. I ended up doing my first open mic at a biker bar. I didn't know it was a biker bar, but that was a lot of fun. And that was December 14th, 2023. So this December will be 2 years I'm doing stand-up. And I've performed in over 200 shows, been in contests, been in festivals. So, it's been fun. I've been in two indie films. One's not out yet. The other one was released last year. I'm just having fun. I'm just having fun with it. But there was no, there was no plan. I just did it on a whim. I really did it on a whim.
Who's your favorite comedian and or who was most influential on you?
I'm going to tell you that's tough. I love comedy. I love all comedians. I love to see all different styles of comedy. Nobody offends me. But all time, I would have to say Dom Herrera. I had the fortune of getting to know Dom. I'm from Wildwood, New Jersey. My family owned the Wildwood Diner and was right across from the Casbah Comedy Club. So a lot of the comics would always come in before and after their sets and shows. But Dom came in and I already knew who Dom was. I'd seen him on TV. And we just became friendly. And he loved my mother, mentioned my mother on television. So, it was really friendship, but I mean, I love his comedy. I think he's one of the best comedians out there. You know, it's regional. He's, you know, he's from Philadelphia. So, I mean, people in flyover country may not get a lot of his stuff. I mean, because he's Italian, I'm Italian, you know, the stuff he talks about, you know, we've lived it. So, you know, I would have to say Don Marrero, but that's not to say I don't love, you know, Rodney Dangerfield, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, George Carlin. I mean, you know, it goes on and on. You know, Maria Bamford, you know, there's very few comics that I don't find funny, but I respect anybody who has the balls to get behind that microphone, because I know it's, you never know if people are going to laugh. You never know what's going to happen. And if you are the shittiest comic out there, if you have the balls to get behind that microphone, I mean, you've earned my respect.
Do you have a day job?
Yes, I am a mortgage broker in New Jersey. Does not allow to feed my comedy material because it's got to be one of the most boring industries. I'll tell you, I've learned to dislike a lot of people. And the only thing that I could say that I got, and I've never used this on set, but I, you know, let me premiere it here on this podcast. I used to do a lot of work with Countrywide, and there was a woman who will remain nameless who was the head of their condo department out of California, and she would always break my balls on condos. And one day she just pushed me to the edge. And her first name was Debbie. I said, Debbie, I got to tell you, you put the cunt in Countrywide. So, you know, I've never used that on stage. That's a true story. And I got calls from vice presidents. I said, look, man, I'm a big customer, and I'm just telling you, she's a bitch. She's a cunt. She's a liability to your company.
What's your favorite color?
Green. I love money, man. Green is my favorite color, period. End of story. Gold. Gold's my second. But it all has to do with my love of dinero.
How often do you write new jokes?
All the time. I mean, the iPhone is my best friend. I use notes. I use a voice memo. I'm driving. Something will happen. I mean, like, I was heading to a gig last year, and I pulled up behind a pickup truck, and somebody had scratched into the tailgate, Ford sucks. And they spelled sucks, S-U-K-S. So my crazy mind, I immediately came up with a bit and I put it in the voice memo. I said, you know, I don't know if this poor guy just doesn't have the time to buff it out, or he just wants to drive around and make fun of the guy that doesn't know how to spell the word sucks.
What's the worst piece of advice you've ever had?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't take a lot of advice from people. I'm my own person. I will tell you, my father gave me career advice, and I didn't listen to him, and he was absolutely right. I went to school for accounting. I have a degree in accounting, and he told me to take a county job in the county treasurer's office. I thought, that's such a loser bullshit job. It pays nothing, leads nowhere. I want to get into public accounting. Well, 5-10 years into accounting, people in the county were making double what public accounts were making, and they had paid days off, benefits for life. So that was probably some of the best advice that I ever got, but I didn't take it. So let me reverse that question on you as far as advice, best advice.
Is your comic persona you? If it's different, your persona, how long did it take you to come up with it?
It's me. I just get up there and talk about shit that's happened in my life. I say I got into comedy in December 2023, but I talk about things that have happened in my life. And I tell stories that I've been telling people for years and years and years, but I tell them differently, because if you or I were sitting at a bar having a cup of coffee and I was telling you a story, I would tell you the story, the whole story. You'd probably yawn and be bored, but I'd tell you the story. I need to condense everything, you know, word economy, and just get to the point, to, you know, get to the punch and hopefully get a laugh. But my stage persona, I mean, it's me. I mean, people say, oh, you know, when you get up on stage, you know, do you have any stage? No, I just get up there and it's like I'd be talking to you, having a cup of coffee or having a drink is what I do up on stage. And so it's me. You know, I don't think there's any real dividing line of who's on stage and who's, not on stage.
Do you have a joke that you think is funny but never gets a laugh? What is it?
there's a story about, you know, my family owned the Wildwood Diner, and we served this pastry, and it was cock-shaped. It was phallic-shaped. So I nicknamed it the schlong. And everybody started calling it the schlong. I assumed everybody knew what the word schlong meant, which is a Jewish slang word for dick or cock. And one day, diners packed 200 people. And, you know, they used to call me Jay. I don't have to, but one of the waitresses grabbed one of these pastries, and in the middle of the diner yells out, "Hey Jay, how much are the schlongs?" Well, the whole diner broke out into laughter because everybody knew what the word schlong meant except for the stupid ditzy waitress. And I didn't say, you know, well then, you know, the police broke out in laughter, and the woman who ordered it now didn't want the pastry. So I guess it's one of those you had to be there situations, but I still find it funny. And once in a while it gets a laugh, but it doesn't, you know, as I remember it, it got a lot more laughs when she did it in the diner.
Is there anything you wouldn't say on stage or that you think shouldn't be said?
I mean, as far as me, I don't get into politics. I don't get into race. I don't get into real super controversial subjects. But I'm not, I don't get offended. I think that what we do is, we should have the freedom to do whatever we want, whatever your shtick is. Whether, you know, you live and die by what you do on stage. So, you know, if you want to get as edgy as possible and, you know, people won't hire you because of that, well, then that's your own fault. I mean, there's a comic that I do a show with that fan from Last Comic Standing, and he does these every week. And I there's a comic, her and her husband are there, and she's half Jewish, half Italian. I'm not sure if, I think her husband might be Italian. I don't think he's Jewish. And he does a joke about, you know, he married a Jewish girl because he thought she would be a good cook because, you know, as a Jew, she had a lot of experience with industrial ovens. And I'm not offended by it, but it's like, why would you want to go there, man? That's just not, that wouldn't make me laugh. I kind of, like, the first time I heard him say it, my jaw dropped a little bit, but he has the freedom to say it. He's, you know, I don't begrudge or police anybody, you know, say what you want to say, but you live and you die, and you succeed or fail by what you say on stage.
Who's the most talented comedian you've ever seen that's unknown?
And I would say this guy's probably not known outside of the Delmarva, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area, maybe New Jersey. But his name is Daniel McFarland. I've worked with him. Nice guy, great guy, very, very funny, very unassuming. I mean, he's one of those guys that will come up with stuff and you may think you know what he's going to say next, and he just shocks you. Always love seeing him and working with him. Daniel McFarland, McFarland.
Anything else we should know about? Future plans or project, etc.?
Well, I'm always looking to expand my geographical location, so if anybody is watching this and says, hey, what do you think about coming wherever? Listen, if you have a club or a venue that'll host me, I'm happy to travel and go out and do shows. I'm also working on my own podcast, which I didn't want to do a podcast again. I'm 64. I don't know anything about podcasts. And my son, who is my manager, wanted me to do a podcast. And I said, look, the world doesn't need another podcast. And I said, unless I do something really off the wall and original. So what I came up with is the gym that I go to has a sauna. And I asked my gym, the owner, can I use the sauna? And I told her why. And she said, yeah. And so I came up with a title called The 10-Minute Schvitz with Comedian Joe Scirocca. And it's just going to be, you know, 10-minute blips of me in the sauna, just, you know, going over things and hopefully making people laugh. So that hopefully is going to come out. We'll probably shoot the first episode sometime this month or next month and get out before Thanksgiving and see where it goes.
Last question. With the recent developments in Eastern Europe, do you think communism is on the rise, or is this just a temporary setback?
I'm personally a capitalist. I believe you should always be a responsible capitalist. And if you're able to help people with your success, do it. I don't think communism works. I, you know, it's in theory, it may have some, you know, good points as far as, you know, everybody, you know, being equal, nobody is more. That's not life. You know, let's apply communism to comedy for a moment. You know, there are people that have been doing this for 10 years that are playing the same gigs that I'm playing, and a year from now I'll be playing clubs that they'll never get into. Vice versa, I may never get up to a certain level that I think that, you know, for whatever reason I should be at, but the powers that be, you know, don't want to elevate me. So if in comedy, under the guise of communism, every comic would be on the same level, playing the same clubs, getting the same set times, getting the same exposure, doesn't work. I mean, you know, if you're funny and you're good, you know, then you deserve to get elevated. If you're not funny, then, you know, hey, like I said, I respect anybody that gets behind the microphone. But, you know, there are certain people who just aren't ever going to get beyond a certain level. So I hope my take on communism and comparing it to comedy is a good analogy. I may not know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Joe Scarracca, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate the time on your podcast.
All right, folks, stick around. We'll be right back after this.
It's circus time, and Steinberg's is cutting their usually low prices by 5 to 50% for their big Circus of Value sale coming up this Sunday. Save on everything in stock, plus you get 2 free tickets to next month's Clyde Beatty Cole Brothers Circus with every purchase of over $200. And I'll be at Steinberg's Warehouse on Reading Road, broadcasting live from noon to 4 here on TV 12. That's this Sunday at Steinberg's. Give me some more balls, please.
Welcome back, folks. My next guest, oh man, I am so excited to have these guys on the show. From Texas, please welcome musical band musicians, Jokers Wild. Jokers Wild, welcome to the show.
JP, thank you so much for having us. Full disclosure, we didn't think this was a real show when you first reached out. We saw the email from Riffs and Giggles and thought, that's got to be a scam, right? Seems too good to be true. But turns out it is. I mean, Riffs and Giggles, two of my favorite things. This might be my new favorite show.
How's life in Houston these days?
It's good. It's hot, humid, kind of like a wet oven. But there's no place else I'd rather be. Best city in the world.
I've often heard that everything's bigger in Texas. Is there anything that's actually smaller in Texas?
Yeah, like the trucks are bigger, hats are bigger, personalities are definitely bigger. As far as something that's smaller, maybe like the critical thinking of the average driver on I-45, something like that.
How's the metal scene in Houston right now?
It's alive and kicking. A lot of shows are happening. Feel like there's 10 every week. I can't keep up with them most of the time, but people are showing up, and it's mostly young people, so I think that's a surefire sign that the scene is doing real well.
What kind of music were you listening to growing up?
I was pretty big into thrash, you know, more like guitar-centric riff rock. Things like Early Man, Valiant Thor, more eccentric bands and bigger personality bands like Turbo Negro. Those were always big for me as a kid.
Who were your biggest musical influences?
For the band as a whole, I'd say our biggest influences are something in the lines of like 2010s hardcore. So think Terror, TUI, Suburban Scum, and then mix that with our other biggest influences, which is Weird Al Yankovic. So put those two together, and I think you've got a pretty good idea of what we're going for in the band.
Why'd you decide to pick up the instrument you play?
Well, playing guitar when I was a kid was a cool thing to do, so for my 12th birthday, I got a guitar, a Fender Squire that I love, and I'm not sure if it made me cooler, but I definitely have loved playing it ever since.
Tell me about the band. Who's in it? What do you each play? And how long have you been together?
It started as a bit, right? What if clowns gatekept clown culture the same way that hardcore dudes gatekept hardcore culture. So we were riffing on the idea for a while, cracking jokes, you know, ended up exploring the craft and eventually falling in love with clownery. And before you knew it, we had written our first EP, Late Night Pie, kind of looked up at each other and thought, you know, is it a joke anymore? Because we had become the clowns. And now we were here to not gatekeep, but protect clown culture. As far as who's in the band, that's kind of a loaded question. I'm Laugh Tracks. I write a lot of the music and I do the main vocals, but we've also got the Clown Prince on bass doing backing vocals, and we've got clowns contributing from all over. So the sound that you hear is really shaped by more than just a few core members.
How'd you get into playing clown metal?
I mean, it just felt natural. You know, I love heavy music. I love riffing on my guitar. I love riffing with my friends. So it's about time that we were able to put it all together into something as beautiful as Joker's Wild.
Was Insane Clown Posse any kind of inspiration for you?
Absolutely. I mean, what kind of clown isn't down with the clown, right? I know they're playing a show out in Chicago pretty soon with direct support from Harm's Way and Haywire, and I'm looking at that and thinking, that's the dream, right? I mean, to play a show with Insane Clown Posse, I think the dream show for us, or the dream tour even, would be, you know, Insane Clown Posse headlining, direct support clown core, maybe just get Clown from Slipknot to do like a purely percussive set before that, and then we open, and just a purely a clown show. I think that would just be perfect.
What is it about clowns? What draws you to that world?
I mean, what's not to like? I mean, think about it. As somebody who wears their emotions and personality honestly on their sleeves, like literally on their sleeves, literally on their face. So you get to walk up and know this person immediately. And I'm not saying that you're going to love every clown that you interact with, but you're going to know right off the rip if you do or not. And what a refreshing change of pace that is from the exhausting existence that is trying to interact with your fellow man, right? Trying to decipher people's true personalities and intentions. I mean, boo, I don't want to do that.
Is there a clown scene in Houston?
Honestly? Yeah, kind of. I mean, could it be clownier? Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, as it stands right now, I'm seeing makeup. I'm seeing some japery, some buffoonery, some monkey business. I'm seeing people cartwheeling across the pit. I mean, that's clown to me. What else can you ask for?
Do you wear clown shoes when you play?
I mean, we have a song called Clown Shoe Stomp. So if I'm ever up there playing that song, not wearing clown shoes, I mean, what does that say about me? I think people are going to clock that as disingenuous off the rip. So I'm going to say that during that song, at least, I'm going to have a pair of clown shoes on.
Do you only dress up as clowns on stage, or is it part of your everyday life?
I mean, I wouldn't say that I dress up as anything, right? This isn't Halloween. I am a clown. And as far as it being a part of my everyday life, I mean, it is. Every day I'm doing cartwheels. Every day I'm juggling pins. Every day I'm cracking wise, throwing pies. I take that with me regardless of what I'm wearing.
Do you have clown names? If so, what are they?
Yeah, everybody's got a clown name. It's a really important part of shedding your mainstream alternative perception of yourself and replacing it with a more honest clownish identity. I'm Laugh Tracks. There's also Da Clown Prince, Killer Cole from Outer Space, Punchline, Sleepy Time, Cavity King, Juggles, Bonk, Gluten Free Waffles, and of course, rest in peace, Ouchie, watching over us from the biggest big top of all. We love you forever.
If somebody wanted to become a clown, what's the best piece of advice you could give them?
My biggest piece of advice would be to study the craft, respect the culture, spread the laughs, spread the love. Clown recognize clown. If you're not in it for real, you will be clocked immediately. But at the end of the day, don't let anybody tell you how to be a clown. Except for us, on every song we've ever written.
Who's your favorite clown of all time?
That's a good question. You know, you don't want to throw out the easy ones, right? The Bozos, the Ringlings, the Ronalds, right? Instead, I'm going to say Glurpo. He was an underwater clown back in 1960s in San Marcos, really pushing the envelope for what it means to be a clown, pushing the craft, taking something that you wouldn't think would pair so well with clownery and making something new and special out of it. Obviously, that's something that we admire at Joker's Wild.
Let's talk about the new album. What can you tell me about it?
We tuned up a few steps for this latest record. Keep the riffs tight. A little thrashier, more punk from time to time. Still got the same japes, same buffoonery like you're used to, but with a few extra songs that delve a little deeper into the darker, more introspective side of what it means to be a clown, which is a sentiment that I feel was a little underexplored on our first two EPs.
Tell me about your live shows. Have you been performing much lately?
You know, I'd love to tell you about our live shows, about, you know, how we're pieing everybody that comes on the stage and people are cartwheeling across the pit and we're throwing rainbow wigs out into the crowd and doing mosh calls to crowd kill whoever picks it up. But unfortunately, we don't play any live shows as much as we would love to. There's only a few of us local to Houston right now. And I don't think I can, you know, sing, play guitar, and play drums all at the same time. So once we fill those positions out locally, we'll be ready to bring this big top to life.
Any future shows or projects we can look forward to?
We got a split coming out early next year with our friends in Brainhang. It'll be their debut. They're really heavy, really slamming riffs, so we do our best to match their energy on this one. It's also going to have a cover on it, the first cover we've ever done, so we're really excited about that. It's been a blast to record and mix here at the Big Top, and we're really looking forward to sharing it with everybody.
Is there anything you'd like the audience to know about Joker's Wild that we haven't covered yet?
I think that just about covers it, man. These have been some great questions. Thank you.
We're going to hear the song Everything's a Joke. What can you tell me about that song?
I wrote that song when I was bored to tears at work with nothing to do but consider my own mortality. I think that's a feeling that a lot of people can share in. And I came to the conclusion that truly everything is a joke. And feeling sorry for yourself gets you nowhere. So just stand up and laugh it off.
Who plays the horn?
I play the horn. I'm pretty particular about which horn to use, when and where in each song. But ultimately, playing the horn is not terribly challenging. Now, in another song that we do called Let It Slide, the Clown Prince, he rips the slide whistle over the breakdown, and let me tell you, it's mind-blowing.
Joker's Wild, thank you so much for being on the show.
JP, thank you so much for having us. We feel very seen. These are some amazing questions we've pretty much been waiting to answer since the inception of Joker's Wild.
All right, folks, that's almost it for us. Before we leave you with a song by Joker's Wild, don't forget to follow us on socials. Everything's at riffsandgigglespod.com. That's riffsandgigglespod.com for all your Riffs and Giggles needs. Also, in the show notes, you'll find the links to all the comedians, all the performers, and all the bands that are on the show or on the specific episode. Whatever, you know what I'm talking about, folks, right? So, without further ado, folks, here they are with their hit, Everything's a Joke, Joker's Wild!
Joker's Wild! My heart's out with, and I can't stop drumming these pins.
Production.